this morning. It is the first Sunday of December. We've finished our series, The Heart of Matters. We finished that last week. If you missed any of it, it's on our website. If you want to check it out, just go to our website, go to iTunes and listen to it on podcast. But today we're starting a new little journey, which is just our Advent journey towards Christmas. And so each week, this week and for the next two Sundays, we're going to be looking at one of these words. Today we're looking at the word arrival. We're going to look at the Advent theme of arrival. We're going to look at what it is to make space for the arrival of God and Jesus in our life. So, I would like to read from Matthew chapter 1 this morning. Here we go. Buckle up. The stuff has got drama at every turn. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez and father of Hezron. And Hezron the father of Ram. And Ram the father of Amminadab. And Amminadab the father of Nashon. And Nashon the father of Salmon. And Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the father of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and the father of... And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of... And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you read your Bible very often, but this year I've been using an app called Read Scripture. I've been trying to read the entire Bible in a year with this app. It's been really, really helpful. One of the things I've learned this year as I've been doing that is that the things that are in our scriptures, it's important to know what we're handling when we come across them. And what I just loosely read and slightly skipped through was also known as a list. A list. Like, there's not much plot in a list. Or drama, is there? A list is just a list. A list just lists stuff. But this list is incredibly important. And it kicks off the Gospel of Matthew. And what we have to realize is that whatever is at the start is important. Intros are important. The things that are placed at the start are important. And so here in the Gospel of Matthew, he opens up with this list. Now this list is 14, 14, and 14 generations of people named. People from history. People who had a place. People who had a story. 14, 14, 14. 42. That's 42 generations of a story. Of history. And then at the end of listing these 42 names, these 42 generations, he says, and this was the father and mother of Jesus. And he intros into this moment with Jesus Christ, the arrival of Jesus. I love the fact that the Gospel of Matthew didn't open up like the start of Star Wars. Do you remember that very first phrase of the first Star Wars, which isn't the first one, it's the fifth, sixth, how does it work? Well, it's the fourth, but it was the first. Cool. Do you remember the phrase that it starts with? It sort of flickers in and there's this little blue writing and it says, in a galaxy far, far away. You know? Thank you, Cooper. Yeah, in a galaxy far, far away. And immediately, because that's the intro to the movie, you know, okay, this movie's talking about something else. This movie's talking about something otherworldly. It's talking about a place not here, but elsewhere. But the Gospel of Matthew opens with this 42 generational list of history, of people, of this place, of this earth. of this story. This list grounds our story in history. It grounds it. Whatever's about to come from here has a place, and it's secure, and it's real and legitimate and touchable. It grounds the story, because that's what 42 generations will do. 42 generations will anchor you into the story of the world. 42 generations anchors you into something that has got longevity. It's not a flash in the pan. This thing has been around for a while. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how this is working? Because some people are like, God, what's God like? I don't know. God, such a mystery. Matthew says, let me write a list for you and show you how concrete this is all to be found. I had an experience of this of my own. I briefly told the story the other day, but I want to use some pictures and tell you properly today. Last month, Gab and I had the pleasure of being able to take some time and go away overseas with my parents, and we went to Scotland. My family's from Scotland. Now, my family story is I have my parents, and then from my parents, I know my grandparents, and that's about it. We don't have a massive amount of cousins. We don't have uncles and all sorts of things. We don't have a very big family. Our family story has always been quite small. And when it came to anything beyond great-grandfather or anything like that, I'm like, I don't know. I've never met these people. My grandfather on my dad's side, he left when my dad was a kid. I don't know who he is. I never got to meet him. We didn't have a big family story. So we went up into Scotland, because in Scotland is where our family, my last name is Sheed, and this is an area called Carbra. And Carbra is where our family is from, and it's just this little town, a little tiny village up in Scotland. We had to find it by just literally following my dad's sense of direction from the fact that he looked at it on Google Earth for the last 20 years. He was like, yeah, turn left here, I think, turn right here. And we just followed our nose and we got there. It was so fun. And we had to do a lot of reversing at one point during the day, but it was good. So we went there. And I have no idea what I'm like, this is kind of dad's thing, you know? Good for dad. This is dad's research. This is dad's moment. However, we then drive a bit further and we find this church, or a kirk as it's called in Scotland. And this little church, there's a cemetery there. And in the cemetery, in the whole back corner, was just sheds everywhere. Just sheds everywhere. Everywhere. There's about what, 16, 17, 18 tombstones, which all had sometimes four people listed on them. And this little one here, which says Alduni. Alduni is the family farm that for 350 years, a sheed has been running that farm. And we went there and visited it, and we got welcomed in for a cup of tea by this lady called Maureen Sheed, and she told us some stories, and it was awesome. Now, why am I showing you this? I'm showing you this because this places me in a story. A story that I didn't even know. A story which I had no context for, no bearings for, but yet I'm standing in front of these stones, and I'm like, John, that's my middle name. John, that's my James, Alexander. Wow. I'm walking around gobsmacked, like, you mean my story's bigger than just this grandfather I never got to know who ran away when my dad was a kid? This one's my favorite. In memory of John Sheed, that's my great, 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 great grandfather. How cool's that? And I got a photo of my dad. I didn't put it up here, but my dad standing next to it. Like a family story that we didn't even know existed. And as we got in the car and as we started to drive away, we also went to the Winston Churchill War Rooms when we were in London, so I was feeling very profound. And I thought I must say something profound. So this is what I said. Because they were here, we are here. My mum was like, well, that was very profound. But it was true. Like, why else were we up in the middle of nowhere in Scotland? We were there because they were here. And we are literally here because they were here. Literally, like, our family story reaches back into these people. Because they were here, we are here. So back to Matthew chapter 1. Back to this list of names that most of us will be like, boring, move on. This list you must not scoff at. This list you must not just graze over. This list is trying to do something very important for you and your relationship with God. And it's trying to scream at you, because they were here, you can be here. Because they were here, Christ was here. Because this happened, this is real. Amen? Matthew is trying to get you to see that Jesus the Messiah arriving in history is a historical reality. A historical reality. And this arrival is called the incarnation. That's the kind of geeky theology word we use for it. Incarnation. Something of spirit becoming flesh. Something of mystery and idea becoming real and tangible and touchable. That's what incarnation means. This thing of the spirit becoming real, touchable, grounded in history. God got his skin in the game in Matthew chapter 1. God did not stay distant, but he came close. God did not stay far, he entered in. He is not just mystery and ideology and theology. He became a person. We do not follow a set of ideas, we follow a man. God with skin on, Jesus Christ. This incarnation is the moment that changes everything. It changes everything. Look at what John says. This is from the Message Bible, so it's a little bit more poetic, but I hope you'll enjoy this today. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. And John pointed him out, and this is John the Baptist, he says, this is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me, has always had the first word. He's just talking about the importance of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, the mystery of Christ, but the fact that here he is. We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding. It all, this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, no, not so much as a glimpse. But this one-of-a-kind God expression who exists at the very heart of the Father has made him plain as day. What is that saying? It's saying, if God is a mystery to you, if you have no idea what God's heart is like, if you have no idea what we're talking about when we talk about God, we are talking about Jesus. Jesus the Messiah who arrived, who made his arrival into history. You know, I used to think that the cross was the most important part of the story of the gospel. But you know, in recent years, I've realized actually the incarnation is the most important. And I'm not saying that to belittle the cross. What I'm saying is that with no incarnation, there would be no cross. There would be no resurrection. There would be no teaching. There'd be no healings and miracles. There'd be no gathering of disciples. There'd be no meals at tables. There'd be no things that we see Jesus do. The incarnation was the opening and the entrance to starting all of that work. Suddenly, God, this mystery becomes tangible and real and followable thanks to Christ. And then, yes, there is the cross, and we've got Easter to talk about that and more fully next year, but this is Christmas, so let's keep it on the arrival, shall we? You know, here's Jesus arriving into the world to make a point, to be God on display. And I love this. I love that it builds from here. One last little analogy or an idea to try and hopefully engage you this morning is, this is one of my favorite documentaries. It's a documentary called It Might Get Loud. And it's a documentary following three guitarists of today's world. The Edge, which is rather cocky, eh? I mean, that's a cocky name to choose. But The Edge from U2. Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin and Jack White from The White Stripes. And this documentary does what all good documentaries do. It pulls these guys into a room and it lets them play together and share stories together and use their craft together. But what I love about this doco is it has moments of visiting each of their stories individually and showing them talking about their influences. There's these moments where Jack White just pulls out these old records and puts it on. He's like, this is the first record I heard. Or there's moments when Jimmy Page puts something on and he says, listen to that. That's what changed everything for me right there. Do you hear that? Or The Edge talks about the punk scene in Ireland and he talks about how that changed everything for him. But what I love the most is that these guys talk about their influences, respect their influences, but then they climb on the shoulders of their influences and they start making something from there. I love that these three men didn't become cover bands of what they were influenced by. But they got on the shoulders and they started making their thing that was new into the world. They started building from that and going even further. I love that, because that is the story of what we're talking about today. Christ's arrival into history is the beginning of something new. Building on the history before him, God then makes a whole new future. See, Jesus is not a cover band of those people before him. Jesus is going to be the whole new thing. And we're going to look at that next week and the week after as we make room for Christmas. But today, what I'm just trying to get us to awaken to is he arrived. He showed up. It was real. And it happened. And so today, because it's Advent, because it's a little bit different, because it's Christmassy, I want to do something a little different today in our response to God today, okay? So what we're going to do, often in traditional churches and things, if you have an Advent wreath, you'd be lighting it in a rhythm of getting towards Christmas Day. And we don't have an Advent wreath today, and we're kind of just going to try and sort of slightly use some of those elements, and hopefully they'll speak to us a little bit. But just like lighting this candle is real, just like that light is real, just like that is touchable and you could walk up right now and feel the heat, so Jesus Christ arrived in human history. And I want you to think for just a moment. The arrival of Jesus is the changing point in history. So what does God's incarnation mean to you? Do you appreciate how real and tangible it all is, or is it just some vague mystery? Are you disregarding it, or are you celebrating it? Just a moment of reflection. Let those questions roll. Yannick, why don't you come and just play some piano for a bit? And we're just going to have a moment of thinking about the real, tangible arrival of God as Christ. You might like to pull your phone out. You might like to take some notes as you think, as you just ponder these questions. This is a devotional moment. Devotion means, you know, something of the heart. Let this speak to your heart today. Let this cultivate something as you think. I'm just going to ask another one of you, just as we sit. And actually, before I move on, if those questions are doing something for you and you want to, I'll just stall for 10 more seconds and you can take a photo on your phone if you want to think about them a bit further. So I'll just do that, if anyone wants to be able to do that for a quick moment. That was a question that hopefully prompted something in you about the incarnation to you. But now I want to ask you a question, and this time, if you're comfortable, I would love you to share in this one with another. If you're up for it, it would be a really nice occasion to maybe jump out of your seat and move somewhere else and say hi to a new person and do this with them. If you don't feel comfortable doing with that, just where you are is fine. But just like we pondered the incarnation and what it means to us as we think about God, this one is more about what you can do with incarnation. The arrival of Jesus invites us to get our own skin in the game. So what is something that God's Spirit prompted you for and you lived it out this year? What started as just an idea or a theory or a mystery and now it has become incarnate, tangible and real? How has that journey been? You know, what did God whisper to you in January and you've been wrestling with it, bringing it to life, seeing it happen? What's a new attitude that's formed in you? What's a new initiative that you've started? What's something you've tried to do because God's Spirit prompted you this year and He invited you and said, come on, let's make this together. What's been something for you? What's been a challenge you've worked through? What's been something that didn't exist last year and God's brought that to life for you and with you? So this bit is a little bit more uncomfortable, but would you share that with another for a while? Again, just a few minutes, but just share it, because that's a discipline. That's a Christian discipline to fellowship and talk about these things together. So turn to someone next to you, but if you're feeling a little bit more courageous or you'd love to do that, could you find someone else? Take that moment. So here we go, for 5 more minutes or so, let's move around and let's discuss this question together for a bit. All right, let's do 1 more minute. So if you've only been the one person talking, swap over. Give the other person a chance. All right. I don't want to interrupt, but let's land that. I'm sorry, it's such a good, I know it's a good conversation, but let's just land it. Could I invite you to stand? And I'm going to pray. And we're going to go. Again, if you want to take a photo of that, and keep working through with that a bit more, it'll be a good thing to do. Let's pray. God, we thank you that for as real as this candle and this light is, Jesus, was incarnate into the world. And in this busy time of year, in this time of so many things to say yes to, so many things to get to, so many things to finish, may we not lose a sense of wonder and awe at how incredible it is that God became man. Awaken in us this year a sense of awe for the incarnation, God, that you arrived in history. Would it push back some of our cynicism, some of the brokenness that we find ourselves in? Would it push back even some of the things that are peripheral? They're not so important, but we've made them more important than they need to be. I pray that the incarnation would bring to us a clarity. They would see a beautiful God who has made a way for peace and joy to find its way into our world. A God who is for the orphan and the widow, for the poor and the powerless. A God who has acted on behalf of those who need justice. A God who has come to bring love so powerfully that you brought yourself. So we thank you for this God. As this light shines from this candle, may we go and be light into our city. May we be light into our workplaces, light into our homes, light into the places that you have placed us now. As we go from being gathered, we scatter into the city to be a light. And we commit all the things that are going on to your hands, God. There's a lot happening. God, keep us aware of your voice, aware of what your Spirit's doing in us. May we not lose sight of you in this time. So in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I hope you've enjoyed this morning. There's been a lot on. We've crammed a lot in. It would be great if some of you could help us put some chairs away to make that quicker today. Would love to see you around at 7 Severn Road at 12:30, just in a little while. Come, fill out the survey. Tell us what you think. Would love to know what you see as you walk into that place today. So God bless you. Go well. May the love and peace of God go with you.